Manx Radio Sport.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard, joined by our team of correspondents for the next hour, looking ahead to the sporting action on Ireland and beyond this weekend, coming up tonight. Onken and Laxey face each other, both looking to secure Railway Cup qualification this weekend in the latest Manx football clashes. In rugby, sitting second in Regional 2 North West, Douglas head to Firwood Waterloo on Saturday. Vagabonds and Ramsey face home ties in County Street, ADM Lancashire and Cheshire. And Vagabonds ladies are on the road. We hear from one of the Alabama's top cyclists following her retirement. A Manx TT competitor setting up his own team. And multiple league titles and relegations hang in the balance this weekend in hockey. That is all to come this evening. Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard and our team of correspondents taking a look through the latest football, rugby and hockey action on Isle of Man and across the water over the next hour or so. We've had a cold snap of weather this week, but hopefully that is taking a bit more of a positive turn over the weekend with temperatures rising. We'll just have to wait and see. You never know with the Manx weather, do you? We'll take a look at the footballing action that's coming up this weekend as the business end of Railway Cup qualification, if you like, in the Canada Life Men's Premier League is really starting to hot up at the moment. To go through this weekend's fixtures with us is our football correspondent, Tony Metten. Tony, very good evening.
Good evening, Rob. And as you say, with the weather conditions, I can say that Billy Goat Park is playable. We got it inspected today at lunchtime and it's in great condition, so well done to everyone who's worked on that one. But we'll wait and see what comes tonight because a little bit of rain is coming in, but the weather we've had this week has been dry-ish and hopefully we'll have a full programme.
Indeed, let's take a look at that programme then, looking at Saturday's fixtures. All games kicking off at 2 p.m. With the exception of one which we will come to shortly. In the Canada Life Men's Premier League, we have five ties due to take place, and at the top of the list is a game that had, Tony, previously been due to take place last weekend, Laxey and Onken. It was called off due to the poor weather conditions, as several games were, but another bite at the cherry for these two teams. And well, looking at the way the table is, with Onken in third and Laxey in fourth, a win for either side could secure Railway Cup qualification for either of these two.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy for Laxey because when you look at the games in hand that they've got, they've still got quite a few. But certainly for Onken, when you look at recent results, Rob, that draw against Old Boys, okay, they lost to Peel, probably expected. Drew with Foxdale, you can't afford to do that if you want to get into the semi-final of the draw. And let's just wait and see how it goes tomorrow. But Laxey should be good. I know they've had a few little problems down there to sort out. But defensively, they look strong. Cameron Avery and also Tommy Kenny there at the back. Ed Canner has been fantastic for them up front. And when you look at possibly other people that are going to be available, we'll wait and see. I don't know if Joel Walters is going to play, but certainly one or two others will make a problem afternoon, I think, for Onken. And I expect Laxey to get that all-important 3 points to get them in the Railway Cup.
Over at Gary Moore, Union Mills are going to be entertaining the league leaders Corinthians, who were on a rest week last week. Corinthians sitting top of the moment, 4 points clear, 27 points after 11 games. Peel in second after 10 games on 23. Peel, incidentally, on a rest week themselves this weekend. But Corinthians back in action against Union Mills, Tony, who were up until the last couple of minutes in the game that I observed last weekend, were leading Rushen United, only for a late Matt Lamb header to get Rushen the points there.
Yeah, I think Ryan Kelly will be absolutely gutted with that one because Union Mills have had a tough time lately with one or two performances, but certainly against Rushen to be going not too far away from the end of the game with that 1-0 lead was a big improvement for them. And when you look at Jack Murray up there, Tyler Hughes as well, two sort of really top forwards, then they can get those all important goals. But Corinthians, I've seen the team sheet and I think there's an embargo on it for me, so we'll wait and see. But no Sean Doyle anyway, because Sean is still coming back in, but he's in the gym, so he's getting fit. But certainly people like Dan Simpson, Connor Clark and everyone else will be looking to see if they can get those 3 points and just keep the pressure on at the top of the table, because with Peel not playing tomorrow, that'll be a little bit of a wider gap if they win. But if the games in hand are played by Laxey and Peel, then there's a right tight mix there with those three top sides at the top of the Canada Life Premier League.
Indeed, and one of those that maybe just at the moment, at the very least, just seems to be maybe slipping away from them, Rushden United, after a brilliant start to the season. The odd hiccup here and there, but nevertheless a strong start so far. Fifth in the table at the moment, only behind Laxey on goal difference, but have played 11, so two games more than Laxey above them. Rushden United, they're going to be at home to St John's United, and I think there are several elements for Rushden United, Tony, that if they were to, in the unlikely event, snatch a Railway Cup spot, quite a lot of the elements are out of their hands.
Well, it is. I think Rushden have just got to win tomorrow afternoon, and that's going to be tough because when you look at Rushden's results lately, they've struggled a little bit. And, you know, I watched them against Corinthians. In the first half, they did all right, but the second half just went against them. And when you look at people that they've got there, Jack Gilbert, Cameron Dudley, you know, really good young players. Charlie Jackson always plays well in midfield. Joe Kelly, I've admired him for the last couple of years, a young lad that's come through the system down there, and really causes problems down that left-hand side. But it all sort of hinges on scoring goals, and Lachlan Denham can certainly score goals. But you've got to look at Aaron Hawley, Steve Riding as well, even though he plays in that midfield role. He can get the important sort of goals that can get them the result. But St John's know what they've got to do. They've basically just got to keep winning. They've got three games to play. But if they lost tomorrow, then that's them done and dusted. And be interesting just to see what happens, how Will Brown picks his team, because up front he's got a glut of top players. You know, when you look at Callum Taggart, you've also got Dean Lees, and it's trying to fit them all in. You've got Reece Oates and then you've got Liam Sale, so it's awful difficult for him. I'm sure he's going to have a bit of a sleepless night as well, because whether the team's been announced, I'm not too sure, but he's got, you know, Joe Quayle in midfield, that'll work hard. No Sam Ingham, he's injured, so that's a big loss at the back. But I think Rushden are going to find it tough going against St John's, and on current form, I'm going to go for St John's to win.
Over at Blackberry Lane, Douglas High School All Boys, their game postponed last weekend due to the poor weather. They're going to be hosting St Mary's, and St Mary's, mathematically at this point, can't qualify for a Railway Cup spot. They've played their 12 games for 18 points. But St Mary's on the road at a Douglas High School All Boys side, Tony, that have played 10 on 5 points, two points outside of safety at the moment.
It is, but it's not panic stations, because this is the next set of fixtures. We've done the first half. I know we've got a few games to slot in due to the weather and other things. But when you look at Old Boys, they've proved it. They drew with Onken. Good performance put in there. And when you've got Cameron Brew and Jacob Stones up front firing on all cylinders, it can really help. And Sam Halliday is a great goalkeeper for them. Notice Drew Ward's back in the squad. No Robbie Ward. So whether Robbie's fit tomorrow, I'm not too sure. But, you know, when you look at other people around that defensive shape, Martin King, one of them, JJ Belander as well, then Old Boys will try and make it difficult for St Mary's. But I have to say, 7 days ago, I was quite impressed with St Mary's, Rob. And I just think if they can keep sort of putting them performances in. Jack McVeigh was sort of in that defensive role, but Frank Jones came on in the second half. Now, Frank looked rusty, and you'd expect that because he hasn't played for a while, but if they can get the shooting boots on Frank and work his magic in that midfield, then it could be difficult. But I thought Josh Evans was impressive at the back, and when you look at the other players around them, they can sort of make it difficult for any of the top sides. It's a tough game going to be, I think, for St Mary's, but I think they'll take the 3 points, and Old Boys still languishing towards the bottom of the league.
The remaining Canada Life Men's Premier League game, Foxdale, the challenges continue this season, bottom of the table, still winless after 9 games, just the 1 point on the board. They're going to be at home against Ayr United, Tony, who were held to a thrilling 4-4 draw with Braddon last time out.
Well, it was, and I just think it points you where Ayr United are at the moment, because, you know, they've got one or two players who haven't been available. Foxdale, Jay Chatwood, will always score goals for them, so that's a big plus if he sort of plays. Alex Hughes is in there as well, Kevin Pullman, who you know, works tirelessly in midfield, and you've just got to sort of look at other people. Matthew Cubbin at the back as well, solid. But against Ayr United, you've got to be so careful. You know what's coming at you. If Sean Kelly's playing, it's a big long throws, and Jamie Callister's always involved in set pieces. But Ayr United have still got a strong squad in there, and if Leo Tregurtha scored in the game last week, if they can keep chipping away, then I think Ayr United can climb up the table. And for Foxdale, it's just tough going for them at the moment.
Indeed. Well, moving on to Ardernan Drug Unlimited Division 2, the state of play at the top of the table at the moment. Castletown and Colby, as they have been pretty much since the start of the season, battling away for supremacy in there. Castletown top after 10 games, 25 points, just 2 points clear of Colby, who have now also played 10. Colby didn't have a game last weekend, that's postponed, and Castletown missed the chance to extend their lead at the top, held to a 3-3 draw by third-placed Rams Youth Centre and Old Boys. So, taking a look at the fixtures for this weekend, four in Division 2 this weekend. We'll start over at Ballafletcher. Douglas Royal, six in the table at the moment. After 9 games, they're going to be hosting St George's.
Yeah, and just on this one, Rob, because Alan Cowan, as you probably picked up in the press this week, Alan was a referee, played for Douglas Royal for a long, long time, and just a pure nice man. That's the only way to describe him. And he lost his battle with illness, and there will be a minute's applause at all games tomorrow, because Alan was highly thought of right the way through Manx football, and our thoughts are with his family and everyone else involved in the club at Douglas Royal, because he really was an outstanding person. But Douglas Royal, when you look at recent performances, they've done well. Bailey Ashton's been scoring goals. You've also got others that there can cause problems. But against St George's, I noticed Kieran McNulty's still chipping away. So well done there, Kieran, for turning out for Geordies. And Johnny Quirk, his strike partner up front. So they can cause problems. Joseph Gartland's in the squad as well. But I'm going to go for Douglas Royal to win.
Yeah, and St George is getting only their second win of the season last weekend away at Douglas and District. Speaking of Douglas and District, they remain winless after their opening 12 games. Just the 1 point on the board at the moment, up against Paul Rose United, who are sitting fifth at the moment.
They are, and I think, D&D, even though they lost 2-0 to St George's recently, you just see improvement in the team. We've just got to wait and see. Jamie Johnson's in there, so he can score goals. Paul Gavin as well can get stuck into it. But Paul Rose, one or two sort of key players have been missing for them. But Barry English has been in the squad. And Russell Dawson's a good goalkeeper. So, you know, he's always stopping things going in. And when you've got the talent of like Nathan Halsall up front, that can create a lot of things. And Paul Rose to take the win.
The other two games features the two sides who we just mentioned a moment ago battling away at the top of the table. Castletown, and this was due to be away at Governors Athletic. And Tony, I believe there's been a change of venue on this one.
Yeah, there has, and well done to the clubs for forward thinking, really, to be honest with you, because, Governors, as you know, have been playing up at St Ian's School, and just to protect the pitch, it's cut up a little bit, but there's no point in tempting it and wrecking it for the next three or four games. So they've moved it down to Castletown. They've got two pitches down there, changing rooms as well. So well done to everyone involved. David Kaye scored in the last game against for Governors Athletic, and I think Billy Sweeney will be looking to try and get things right for them. But for Castletown, Ross Crawford's there. I noticed that Alex Crawley's been missing over the last game, so I'm not too sure if he's been injured or whatever. But Oliver Lee and Tom Moore have been scoring goals, and I'd expect Castletown to take the win.
And Governors Athletic, like Douglas and District at the bottom, still searching for their first win of the season, but Governors Athletic still with a bit of catching up to do games-wise, only played the 8 so far with the 1 point on the board. Colby, meanwhile, start the day 2 points behind Castletown at the top of the table. They head to Ramsey Centre and Old Boys, Tony, and as Castletown found out last week, Ramsey Centre and Old Boys, who are in third themselves at the moment and 4 points off the top two, it's unlikely that the Southern visitors are going to have it easy.
They're not going to have it easy, and these two sides, I think it's going to be between them two. Castletown probably as well. Paul Rose will be involved to get promoted, so it's a big game. It's down at Ramsey Centre, so a tighter pitch than Colby's. But when you look at Colby's last performance, 6-1 against D&D, Carl Hickey playing really well, and Kieran Smith as well, Tom Walton, Johnny Croft's in the squad, so Colby looking really strong. But for Ramsey Centre, Tony Cole, a couple of goals. Well done, Tony, in the last game. And Adrian Scarabuccia got one as well. And also they've got good, strong players in there, Corey Cassidy being one of them. And I just feel that this is going to be one heck of a battle. It's going to be hard to decide who's going to win it. It's going to be the performance, best performance on the day that's going to get this result, I think. I'm going to just say it's going to be a draw. I'm going to play safe.
Very well. Moving into the combination leagues then. Just the four games in Canada Life Combination 1 this weekend. So here's the state of play at the top of the table, just to remind you. Ramsey leading the way at the moment with 26 points after 10 games. Ramsey not in action this weekend. And Corinthians, their nearest challengers, who are 5 points behind, 21 to be precise, after nine games. They're taking on Union Mills. Elsewhere in third, just one point further back on Corinthians, but having played a game more, is Peel on 20 points. Also on 20 points, Rushen United after 10 games as well. So Peel and Rushen a point behind Corinthians, but have played a game more. Tony, take us through the four games in Canada Life Combination 1. Included in there is an earlier kickoff.
Certainly is, and let's go the earlier kickoff first, and that's at the Bowl, and it's St Mary's against Douglas High School Old Boys. Not too sure of Old Boys' squad strength, because you know, when they've got the full strength squad, they can mix it with the teams at the top of the league. But St Mary's got some good players in there, Jamie Skillen being one of them, so I've got to go for St Mary's to win. Corinthians against Union Mills, keeping the pressure on at the top of the table. They beat Rushen, and Ramsey are up there, and they've got to try and sort of take the points away from them when they play them on the second game. But I go for a win for Corinthians against Union Mills. St John's against Laxey. I think St John's squad is pretty well full strength, but Laxey have proved already in the first half of this season that they can score plenty of goals, and they'll make it difficult, but I'll go for St John's to win. And Ayr United against Foxtel. Foxtel's combination, very similar to the first team, chopping and changing players around a little bit, and I expect Ayr to win.
Moving on to Ardern and Drugg Unlimited Combination 2, going into the six games in that division this weekend. Paul Rose United continuing to impress at the top of the table. The only senior men's team across the four divisions to still have a perfect record. 11 wins from 11. They're 7 points clear to, or should I say 8 points, beg your pardon, clear at the top of the table over Douglas Athletic in second, who've played a game less on 25 points. Looking elsewhere, in fact, Ramsey Centre and Old Boys as well, only behind Douglas Athletic in second on goal difference, it must be said, and only played nine as well. So, Tony, take us through the six games in Ardern and Drugg Unlimited Combination 2 this weekend.
Let's have a look at Douglas Athletic, who are second in the lead against Michael near the bottom. You're going to go for Athletic to win in that. Jim's against Malou. I'm going to go with Jim's to take a victory. St George's against Douglas Royal. I'd expect that possibly the team that Royal have got out tomorrow will have enough to win that one. Paul Rose against Douglas the District. Absolutely flying, Paul Rose. Two strong sets of players, first team and combination, going so well. Pulley to win. Castletown against Governors Athletic. Physically, Governors Athletic will be a lot stronger than Castletown, but Castletown got some really good young players in there, so Castletown to win. And Colby against Ramsey Centre and Old Boys. Colby are the champions from last season. I think they're going to have a tough afternoon against Ramsey Youth Centre, and I'm going to go for them to win.
So those are Saturday's fixtures. Let's take a look at Sunday. So the Canada Life Women's Floodlit Cup continues at the Bowl in Douglas on Sunday. Three fixtures penned in back-to-back. We'll start off with what is going to be the first game of the day. Onchan up against the defending champions, Peel.
Yeah, and when you look at the results over the last couple of sets of fixtures for this Floodlit Cup, there's some good performances going on, and we're sneaking that 5 o'clock kickoff game in as well, Rob. So three games, so full afternoon of women's football if you want to watch six of the seven teams. But Onchan against Peel with Becky Corkish there scoring goals, and everyone, there's a real strong squad in there. Tia Lisi, Sarah Wignall, when you look at that, they go so strong, so I'd expect Peel to win that. Malou against Corinthians. I think Corinthians will prove too strong. Good performance for them last week, steady win. And then Rushen United against Douglas Royal. Not too sure how Douglas Royal's team is, because a couple of games this season they've been sort of light on players. But against Rushen United got a good chance here possibly of winning it. But I think the experience that Royal have got will take them over the line.
Indeed, and just a bit of a recap of the games that took place last weekend. Corinthians 17-0 winners over Union Mills, who of course have only just joined the Canada Life Women's League for this season. Elsewhere, Douglas Royal, the seven-time winners of the competition, a narrow 3-2 win over Malou. They led by 3-0, but a Rosabelle Cardi double put Malou back into contention. They were unable to get themselves back into the contest. And Peel 7-0 winners over at Rushen United last week. So those are the Canada Life Women's Floodlit Cup fixtures, all of those taking place at the Bowl on Sunday. The first, Onchan versus Peel, 10 past 2 kickoff. Malou versus Corinthians, a 3:40 p.m. kickoff. And then concluding, Rushen United, Douglas Royal at 5 p.m. And last but certainly not least, Tony, on Sunday, we've got two games in the Masters football.
Yeah, and Masters football at the moment is sort of hotting up, because when you look at three of the top sides, well, you could say four, Colby as well, but certainly Old Boys, Union Mills and St Mary's, there's a lot of quality out there to see. And, you know, I think certainly Union Mills are looking at this as a big game against St Mary's. Haven't seen the sort of team news for either side, but I'm just going to edge this one towards Union Mills to take the game away from St Mary's. And Laxey against Douglas and District, this being played at Glen Road in Laxey because they're on grass pitches at the moment. And I would expect Laxey to win that one because, again, one or two sort of players in there who were a little bit younger helps them, the tired legs of the older ones, and expect Laxey to take the points.
And just coming back really quickly, Tony, to the women's football side of things, on a more general note, really, we're now several weeks into the season, the league and cup season as well. And of course, we had two new additions to the Canada Life Women's League this season, Rushen United and Union Mills. And Rushen United, well, they've actually picked up two wins from the opening five games. It's been a little more challenging for Union Mills so far, still to get their first league points on the board this season and a goal difference of minus 46 at the moment. But from maybe what you've heard or others have heard, how are Rushen United and Union Mills finding settling into the women's league so far this season?
I think they're doing very well, and I think the main point about it is that the other teams are showing a lot of respect towards them as well, you know, because it's difficult. You start in the league, and I think Rushen, they've got a stronger squad, and Donna Harrison there has done a great job with the players that have come through, and one or two young ones there who can only get better as they play. And quite a lot of the girls in both teams, Union Mills as well, haven't really played football, so it takes them a little bit to get through. But when you look at a marker that Malou put down, you know, when they sort of reformed, is that a lot of hockey players just came in and played football as well. And okay, you've got the fitness level, but you still have to understand the rules and how it works and everything. And it's different, you know, kicking with your feet instead of kicking with a stick. So deep down, I think it's gone really well. But when you look at Corinthians, you look at Peel, it's very, very difficult to see past those two sides. And when you look at Peel already have beaten Corinthians, the Floodlit Cup's a little bit different because, you know, it's a league basis going through. But no, it's been good. And, you know, all the teams have got players out there. The weather's obviously getting colder now. And, you know, the Floodlit Cup, it's a great setting down there in the bowl to play under floodlights.
Indeed. And finally, Tony, just got 60 seconds or so. Just a quick look at FC Isle of Man coming into this weekend on back-to-back home defeats, heading to Longridge Town, the second time they'll have faced them this month. Looking to try and get back on a winning trail, Tony, after before those back-to-back defeats, they've gone on a six-game unbeaten run, which has, of course, now been brought to an end. But, you know, going to a Longridge Town as well, the two teams drew earlier this month, and FC Isle of Man have won at Inglewhite Road on their previous three visits, all of their three visits to date.
Yeah, it's all changed, isn't it, at the moment for FC Isle of Man with the squad, with everything that tactics-wise from Rick Holden. And I listened to your commentary last week, and, you know, they made a good start, but it's just like anything. You've got to just try and keep things nice and tight and defensively. You know, we conceded a few goals over a few games, and, you know, up front, it's nice when players go through, but, you know, Luke Booth, that'll do his confidence when he scored. But it's really hard, but Rick Holden's done a great job. He steadied the ship. It could have gone one way. It could have gone absolutely worse down the bottom, but Rick has steadied it. And the rest of the squad there, Chris Bass, and, you know, everyone has put a bigger shift in as they can. I know they've altered the training a little bit. They've been training down at Castletown Stadium on the grass, which, you know, maybe Rick wanted to do. But credit to them, trying to get the results, and it'll be hopefully a win for them tomorrow.
Excellent, Tony. Thank you very much, as always.
Manx Radio Sport.
Moving on, the last few weeks have marked the end of the 2025 professional cycling season, and this year it also brings to a conclusion the stellar career of one of the Isle of Man's top riders. Lizzie Holden took the decision to retire from professional racing at the end of the latest campaign, taking part in her last ever race at that level at the Tour of Guangxi in China last month. And there's been plenty of highlights along her journey in the sport, including becoming British Elite Women's Time Trial Champion in 2023, representing the island at the Commonwealth Games in 2022, and being a regular competitor on the Women's World Tour in recent years. Well, we caught up with Lizzie this week to find out about her best memories in cycling, her future plans, and why now feels like the right time to be stepping away from the professional ranks.
Like, I had a difficult year last year with Epstein-Barr glandular fever, and that took a really long time to come back from. And yeah, I think just mentally the toll of coming back from that, and then the start of this year I had a crash where I fractured the coccyx bone, and that took a long time. And I think just racing in general is like, the standard has increased so much, and we're going so much faster, the risk is higher. And I think, yeah, I just noticed like this year especially, like I was more scared in general, like I didn't want to take as much risk anymore. And yeah, obviously you can't be at the highest level if you're not willing to take those risks. So yeah, it was just more that, like, I still love riding my bike, but racing, yeah, mentally I'm not at the highest level anymore. And it's, yeah, hard to do that if you're not there.
What have been the biggest highlights, do you feel, of your professional cycling career?
So I think, like, most of my career, I was generally helping my teammates or someone else. But, like, the opportunities I had to ride for myself in the Commonwealth Games, even just to represent the Isle of Man there, was, like, it's incredibly special. And then, obviously, the TT Champs in 23, that was, yeah. Like I said, I was never really the most confident person. And even crossing the finish line, I was like, did I really just win? Or I'm not sure. Like, so yeah, I think just, and I mean, one highlight actually was being a part of when the Women's Tour de France started. Obviously, there was additions in the past, but to come back as a 7-day stage race, to be a part of that was, like, incredible. And, like, just seeing the growth in women's cycling is amazing. And I think, yeah, it will continue to grow.
You mentioned the Tour de France Femme, and that a landmark, really, to be seeing that, you know, coming back and now being a regular feature throughout the season. You also touched on before the fact that the season has grown in your time as a professional cyclist as well. What do you think that says about the growth of the women's cycling scene in general, that you're having bigger seasons, far more events and far more opportunities for the likes of yourself and other female riders?
I think it's really good. I mean, maybe you could argue that it's potentially too much too soon, but in general, it's really good. And there's a lot more opportunity for more riders. And even in general, there is so many more professional athletes, and the level in general is so high. Like, some races that I did in my first year as professional, I guess, in 2017, some of the races would have 60 people maybe on the start line. And now it's like the max is maybe 160. It's crazy. I think the opportunity in general, like, now also that the fact that you can have a living wage as a professional cyclist will change a lot. And I guess that's why the level has changed so much, as you can do it as a full-time athlete and not have a second-time job, which I think used to be very common.
That is Manx professional cyclist Lizzie Holden, who recently announced her retirement from professional cycling after her final appearance on the Women's World Tour at the Tour of Guangxi in China last month. And plenty of things to be able to look back on, as we've just been hearing from Lizzie there, in terms of representing the Isle of Man in the women's road race and women's time trial at the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham in 2022, along with another selection of the Isle of Man's top female riders as well. 2023 British Elite Women's Time Trial Champion as well. And you can listen to that interview in full, the extended version, and the Manx Radio Sportscast at manxradio.com. Going to be turning our attention to rugby next, where a busy schedule is on the cards. Can Douglas keep up their good form? We'll see.
Manx Radio Sport.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time has just gone 6:05. Turning our attention to rugby. Busy schedule on the cards this weekend. Douglas at the top of that schedule, if you like. Lofty position in Regional 2 Northwest as they head on the road this weekend, looking to keep up a stellar start to the season. Vagabonds and Ramsey both in action in Counties 3, ADM and Lancashire and Cheshire. Vagabonds ladies are on their travels in Women's NC 2 North South. To go through everything as usual is our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. Dave, we're going to turn to Douglas first of all. The positives continue at the moment for Phil Kringle's side at the moment, sitting second in Regional 2 Northwest with a game in hand on Sam Batch at the top and North Ribblesdale just below them as well. Heading to Firwood Waterloo this weekend, and saying just a few moments before we returned to the air, if you like, Firwood Waterloo had themselves a strong season last time out, but not quite the same this campaign.
No, Robin, I think the clubs, certainly in the northwest of the UK, do suffer from player migration during the closed season. It's quite possible, and I haven't looked at the background details, but it's quite possible that a group of players have moved away to a different club, maybe with more lofty ambitions. Maybe not. We'll have a little dig around, see what we can find. The positives for Douglas, yes, they're in second place. Firwood Waterloo are bottom. Waterloo, though, we've got two losing bonus points in that points column, and that indicates two close games. They've had two very close games, one against Widnes, one against West Park St Helens, and that means they've lost by seven or less. And in fact, in one of those games, it was 13-12. There's only a point in it. That's one missed kick or one conversion or penalty going in for the other side off a crossbar or an upright. So we're still at an earlier stage in the season when that missed kick could make a big difference to their league position. So if you put 8 or 10 points on them for those two, if the games had gone their way, they'd be looking in a very different position than they do now at bottom of the table. And I think I read Tony Wilson-Spratt's preview in the newspaper, and Tony was echoing a little bit of caution, and I tend to agree with them there. Let's not get carried away with the fact that Waterloo are bottom and Douglas are going great guns. Let's focus on the game, do your thing, do it well, and the points will come if they're due. And I've looked at the Douglas team sheet. I won't go through it. I won't steal your thunder for that. But it's, again, really, really consistent. I've been impressed with the way they've been able to put out that same or similar side week in, week out. Big news for them is Simon Hoddenott is named at prop. He was thought he might struggle with a little ankle niggle, but no, he's gone in. And Matty Wood is going to be back at 10 with Josh Duncan, who was in standoff last week, Josh moving into the centres. Aside from that, it's pretty much same old for Douglas. It's worked for them so far. Let's hope it continues working. And against the bottom side, I suspect it will. And the big Brucey bonus this week, Rob, North Ribblesdale play Sandbach tomorrow. And if that result goes right, Douglas could close the gap on Sandbach at the top and be within striking distance with that game in hand. So, opportunity knocks for Douglas. Let's hope they go for it.
Indeed. So just to put some numbers on what Dave's saying there, Sandbach top after 8 games on 36 points. Douglas second on 29 after 7. North Ribblesdale on 28 points in third, but have played 8 as well. So Douglas with that game in hand. And of course, Douglas still have the meanest defence in the league at the moment this season, only conceded 135 points there. So let's take you through that Douglas team to face forward Waterloo tomorrow. So here is your starting 15, numbers 1 to 15 in order. It is Simon Hoddenott, Josh Campbell, Owen Carvin, Ethan Kermode, Captain Blake Snell, Harry Cartwright, Blake Everson, Liam Kirkpatrick, Nathan Robson, Matty Wood, Craig Martin, Josh Duncan, Harry Hewson, Ollie Corkish, and Jack Wallace. 3 substitutes for Phil Kringle's side. They are Connor Garland, Ian Larson, and Carl Martin. Turning to Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire, both Vagabonds and Ramsey on home soil this weekend. Vagabonds last time out got their first win of the season at home to Duckenfield. Ramsey, meanwhile, still searching for that elusive first victory of the campaign. Starting off with Vagabonds, Dave.
Yeah, Oldham, I recall playing against Oldham for Western Vikings in a tour friendly back in the day. They were a cracking bunch of lads back then, and hopefully nothing's changed, so they'll be well entertained at Vagabonds tomorrow. Oldham are looking perhaps a different prospect to Duckenfield. Duckenfield had struggled at the start of the season. Oldham aren't doing that much better than Duckenfield, but they do have a few wins under the belt, and that might make them a difficult prospect for Vagabonds. We are, however, getting close to the start of what I call the silly season, when we have all sorts of player unavailabilities due to Christmas events. And if Oldham don't come here fully cocked for this game, then I think Vagabonds might steal a march from them. The Vagabonds team's on the up. We were at the game for Saturday Live against Duckenfield last week, and Vagabonds were worth the win. It took a little while to get it. They had to wait until 5 minutes from the end. A penalty chance, and even that had to be retaken. Somebody from Duckenfield decided it was a good idea to charge a penalty kick, which you're not allowed to do, and Cam Finley missed the kick. It was ordered to be retaken, and he got it second time round. That gave them an 8-3 lead, and then as Duckenfield started to chase towards the end, the field opened up and Vagas pulled off a converted try. So the result, I'm not going to say it flattered them. They worked very hard for that. The defence was absolutely awesome, and it didn't matter which player it was, they were putting in the big hits. Theo Head was really good at fullback. Cam Finley put in a couple of monster hits in the midfield. It was brilliant stuff defensively from Vagabonds. They've just got to try and convert that a bit more into attack, and I'm sure that they've been working on that in training this week. No team news from Vagabonds, but there didn't appear to be any significant injuries last week. Dan Bonwick was there. He played in the 7 jersey, the 9 jersey, and the 10 jersey last week. The boy can really do everything. And we were saying on the sideline, if he pulls a number 3 on, I'll really be impressed. But maybe he's not quite the right build for that. But yeah, Dan was excellent last week, leading from the front. His team did very little wrong and got the win they deserved. They're on the up. Oldham better watch out.
And turning to Ramsey, the only side in Counties 3 ADM at the moment without a victory, 6 defeats from 6 so far. They're back on home soil for only the second time this season, actually, tomorrow at Morag Park. They have a tough test themselves this weekend.
Yeah, Burnley are third, I think, third or fourth. They've only lost once in 5 outings. They're going to be a tough prospect. They're taking the game very seriously as well. They're actually flying in tonight. And they're staying over tonight, so they're fresh for the game tomorrow, and they're staying over Saturday night as well. So they're taking this seriously, but having a little bit of a mini tour as well. Ramsey, some changes to the team, probably on the positive, I think. They showed up the front row. Michal Flynn comes back in at three. And also, and the big news for Ramsey, back at fullback this week is Brandon Aitchison. He's Ramsey's try machine. He was one of the top point scorers in English Rugby Union two or three seasons back. This season, he got crocked in the first game away at Congleton. He hasn't played since, so him coming back is a massive boost for the team. He's going to come in at fullback. They've got the best chance they've got potentially at the Merrick Park. Next week's an even bigger one, though, because it's Ramsey versus Vagabonds at the Merrick Park. And probably if Ramsey are going to target a game for a win, that's the one. But they're going to struggle probably against Burnley. Remains to be seen what sort of side Burnley bring, because, as I said earlier, the silly season is upon us.
Indeed. Well, here is your Ramsey team to face Burnley tomorrow at the Murrogue Park. So your starting 15, numbers 1 to 15 in order. Joe Flanagan, Ben Hartman, Michal Flynn, Aaron Kerfey, Josh Kelly, Adam Dunlop, Matthew Meekin, Captain Josh Cateen, Dan Kelly, Tom Moffat, Will Millsop, Kieran Neal, Jake Severs, Braden Roche and Brandon Aitchison. Three substitutes are Neil Harmer, Tynan Pritchard and Michael Crane. And finally, Vagabonds ladies are back on their travels this weekend in women's NC2 North South to face Bury, Dave.
Yeah, and I think the girls will be looking forward to this one. Bury haven't been going very well in the women's league. I think they're bottom of the table. Vagabonds have had a win. They also had a big reversal against Sale 1861. The game that maybe they thought they were going to win was Winnington Park, and they slipped up a little bit, conceded 22 early points, were 22-0 down at one stage, and it's only towards the end of the second half they pulled it back to within 4 points, I think at 29-25, something like that, 29-24 maybe. But they leaked a try near the end, and in the end lost by 5 points, 34-29. The girls will be disappointed with that one. They'll be wanting to get back to winning ways. They take a team away tomorrow, and looking at the team sheet, there have been a few changes. The most notable one is the absence of Maylin Campbell. Maylin, the star at number 8, she's not available. Greba Tazier, I think, was going to fill in. Greba's a more than adequate replacement, and the two of them running at you with the ball is a very, very scary sight indeed. Freya Crowe back as well. She went off injured against Winnington Park. We thought that she may struggle, but she seemed to be back to full fitness. And stepping inside one as well, going to play in the centres this week. And only one player on the bench suggests to me that travel is going to be a problem for them this week. And player availability also a problem. So fingers crossed for the girls. Bury at bottom, not showing any signs of improvement. I hope to see Vagabonds bring back the maximum points.
Vagabonds, in contrast, fifth in the table, one win from their opening three games so far. So here's your Vagabonds ladies team to face Bury in Women's NC2 North South tomorrow. Is Becca Hicks, Sharon McCarrick, Maisie Murray, Iona Lee, Georgie Quayle, Jacinta Tazier, Greba Tazier, Charlotte Hurd, Holly Shea, Captain Sammy Mack, Leona McGovern, Freya Crow, Chloe Dillon, Holly Scott and Meg Carrick. And as Dave mentioned, just the one substitute available for Vagabonds ladies this weekend, and that is Leah Morris. Dave, thank you very much. We're going to be taking a look at hockey in just a second. Multiple league titles and relegations potentially on the cards this weekend in the penultimate weekend of the Mixed Hockey League season. And also we'll be hearing from one of the Isle of Man's TT competitors setting up his own team for next year. Don't go away.
Manx Radio Sport.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview. The time has just gone 19 minutes past 6, turning our attention to hockey, and numerous league titles and relegations could be decided tomorrow in what is the penultimate weekend of the 2025 Isle of Man mixed hockey season. To go through it with us, as always, is our hockey correspondent, Ben Cunningham. And Ben, before we dive right in, I guess, plenty that could happen tomorrow, I think it's fair to say.
Absolutely, quite a few titles could be decided and a few relegations, absolutely.
Indeed. Let's take a look at the Mixed Premier League. So we'll give you the connotations, first of all, of what could happen tomorrow. Bakersay, who are the current leaders, they could wrap up the title tomorrow if they win or draw in their game against Castletown Celts. And Bakersay could also seal top spot if, in the unlikely event this season, that they lose and their nearest challengers, Valkaisay, fail to win. And elsewhere as well, at the bottom of the table, Castan Southerners, who are facing Vikings A. Southerners could be relegated if they lose tomorrow, and Vikings B pick up any points in their respective games. So, Ben, take us through the four fixtures in the Mixed Premier League tomorrow.
So the first one's 12:35 at Castle Rushton High School. That's Castan Southerners against Vikings A. Southerners know they need to get something out of this game, but Vikings A, I think, will be too strong for them on the day. So a Vikings win there. 12:35 at King William's College sees Harlequins A against Valkyries A. That's going to be a really close game. These two sides have met twice, and both times Valkyries A have just snatched the win. So it's going to be a close one there. I'm going to sit on the fence on that one. Celts against Backers A. Backers A, absolutely phenomenal season this year. And I think it's going to be a tough day for Celts to stop Backers A from taking that title. So Backers A win there. And then Vikings B, Backers B. Again, another one which I'm going to sit on the fence. But if Vikings B could get something out of that, it'll be a massive achievement for them.
Yeah, and just looking at some of the numbers, our Backers A as well, even if they were to lose their next two games, which seems unlikely given their form of 8 wins from 8 games so far, they have a goal difference of plus 45. Valkyries A below them, a goal difference of plus 7. They've been scoring goals for fun at times, but toward the bottom at least, between Vikings B and Castan Southerners, 2 points separates them with the exact same goal difference of minus 37. In Mixed Division 1, this is how things are going to look. Vikings C know that if they fail to get any points this weekend, they will be relegated in their game against Valkyries B. League leaders Backers C, they play Harlequins B, so Backers C could clinch the Mixed Division 1 crown tomorrow should they win, but it would also require both Ramsey A and Valkyries B suffering defeat in their respective contests. So Ben, the three fixtures in Mixed Division 1 this weekend.
Yeah, and they're all 12:35 fixtures. So the first one is at the NSC, which is Backers C against Harlequins B. This is the game we're going to cover for Saturday Live. Backers C looking really good, and I think they're going to have the edge over Harlequins B on the day tomorrow. Ramsey A against Valkyries C, again, another close game. I think, though, Ramsey A have just found their form now, come towards the end of the season here, and they'll want to get that runners-up spot, so Ramsey A win there. And then Valkyries B against Vikings C. Vikings C know that they need to get something from this game, but they're going to have a tough day in the office against a very good Valkyries B side, so Valkyries B win there.
Again, just to add some numbers to that, as also Backers C at the top, 6 wins from their 8, they're on 12 points, and then Ramsey A in second on 10 points, Valkyries B in third on 10 points, but only behind Ramsey on goal difference. Backers C, goal difference of plus 21 compared to Ramsey with the next best of plus 8 as well, so another with goal difference on their side. Mixed Division 2 then, and it's a meeting of the two top sides, as if that wasn't big enough, between Castletown Camags, the leaders, and second-placed Vikings D. A win for Camags, who do actually have a game in hand, would see them take the title with 2 matches to spare. Meanwhile, Backers Colts play Castletown Cushags, Ramsey Ravens, Castletown Cosney as well. It's all very close toward the bottom of this table at the moment, isn't it, Ben? Take us through the fixtures.
Absolutely, and I can confirm that Camags are, in fact, the league title champions because they played that game in hand last night against Cosney and they won. So Camags have won Division 2.
Well, there we go then. We've got our first champion crowned. Congratulations to Castletown Camags. You were giving us a dramatic pause there.
Yeah.
You could have told me at any point before the show started about that one, but you chose not to.
Okay. I was going to save it till last night, but I think no, Camags deserve the applause tonight. So congratulations to Castletown Camags. They are Division 2 champions. The fixtures in Division 2 are 11:05 Camags against Vikings D at Castle Rushton High School. Castletown Ravens against Castletown Cosney at Ramsey Grammar School at 2:05. And again at 2:05, Castletown Cushags against Backers Mixed Colts. Those last two fixtures, though, huge fixtures in that division for pretty much all four of them teams.
Yeah, there's three teams right towards the bottom of Mixed Division 2 that all still mathematically could get relegated with games still to play. You also created a new Castletown team there, Castletown Ravens. I think you meant Ramsey Ravens against Castletown Cosney there, Ben.
I'll just
correct you in there. Mixed Division 3, of course, no relegation from this particular division, but in Mixed Division 3, Valkyries D could get their hands on the league trophy with victory this weekend over Backers D. But I believe, Ben, you believe at the very least, these two sides are quite evenly matched among the four fixtures to take us through.
Absolutely, very, very much evenly matched. I think the last time they played each other, I think Valkyries D just edged it over Backers D, and that game is at 11:05 at QE2. Again at 11:05, we have Ramsey Rookies against Harlequins D. At the NSC, I'm going to go for a Harlequins D win there. 12:35 at QE2 sees Vikings E against Castletown Carrick. That could be a very close one, that one. I think maybe Carrick might just get that one on the day. And then at 2:05, Harlequins C against Backers Mixed Books. I'm going to sit on the fence on that one. I think that one might end as a stalemate.
Yeah, and I think the reason why Ben points out that these two teams are evenly matched between Valkyrsdy and Bakkersdy, they are the top two. Valkyrsdy top on 14 points, Bakkersdy in second on 12, Backers Mixed Books in third, also on 12, only behind Bakkersdy on goal difference. And just very finally, quickly, Ben, we do have three games in the Mixed Under-15s League this weekend.
And they're all 3:35 pushbacks, and the first one is Valkyrs against Harlequins at the NSC, Vikings against Castletown Sharks at Castle Rushen High School, and then Backers are heading north to Ramsey Rogues and Rascals at Ramsey Grammar School.
Excellent, Ben. Thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, finally tonight, we're going to be turning our attention to motorsport, because this week, one of the Isle of Man's top TT competitors announced he'd be undertaking a new venture for 2026. Ramsey man Conor Cummins has set up a new team, Conrod Motorsport, which is named after his own business, with the main aim to race at the Isle of Man TT races once more next year. And whilst he has ambitious plans in both the short and long term, he says he's under no illusions as to the challenge in front of him to get this team off the ground. Speaking to Manx Radio this week, Cummins agreed that when it comes to making this dream a reality, money doesn't grow on trees.
With my eyes very, you know, wide open, because it's money's going to make the team go round. It's as simple as that. So I appreciate that the world's in a very weird sort of place at the minute with everything, and I need backers to make this happen. There's no two ways about it. I can put the infrastructure in place. Because over the years, I've built up some strong relationships, and I like to believe now with this taking place, I can call on those relationships that I built and put it all into practice and get us on the grid.
Being, I suppose, kind of rooted in reality almost, that seems to be a thing that affects riders of all different levels across the grid when it comes to the TT as well. How much do you all, I suppose, have to accept that there is going to be a level of real graft that has to go in behind the scenes just to even get you to the start line, let alone start thinking about your racing ambitions?
Yeah, there's got to be an eyes wide open approach to this, and being totally realistic, there's going to be some blood, sweat and tears, no doubt about it, but that's what I've always done, to be honest. I'm not shy of putting the effort in. That's how I've grown my business. Obviously, we've had some good help along the way with the business side of things as well. I've got a great team of people on board in that respect. So the idea is to replicate that for my race team and have the right people there who can obviously share the burden of the graft as well to get us to the grid. So yeah, there's money's going to make this work or not, and I'm just being realistic, and I'm only going to know if I try. So I'm right up for it.
Looking forward, you don't want to plan too far ahead, but you know, do you have any other particular ideas in mind for the team, what you'd maybe like to see in the long run?
I think I'd like to have we've got to focus what's right under our noses right now, and that's getting year one dialed in and to the grid. But beyond that, I'd like to have this, my, you know, Conrod Motorsport sitting as a go-to team for riders who want to progress from the Isle of Man to achieve getting to the grid at the TT. Beyond that, I'd like to grow it, but maybe get across the water to do some of the British Championship rounds as well. But that's a little bit pie in the sky at the minute. We've got to look at funding to get the project off the ground. So right now, it's the focus is on, as I say, right under our noses. I just want to be totally realistic, and we'll get to the grid for TT26.
That is Ramsey Ryder and Isle of Man TT competitor Conor Cummins speaking about his new team, Conrod Motorsport, that he set up to attack the 2026 Isle of Man TT races coming up next year. Well, currently the initial programme is going to see Cummins contest the two Superstock TT races in 2026 with his machinery yet to be confirmed, and separately, it's understood he's looking at his options for the Superbike and Superstock classes. Of course, during 2025, he contested the TT with the Borough's Engineering RK Racing team, securing two top 10 finishes in the Superstock races, and in the process giving the team its fastest ever TT lap. And Cummins, well, his best personal lap speed on the Snaefell Mountain course of 133.116 miles an hour set back in 2022 currently makes him the sixth fastest TT competitor of all time. Well, that's about just all we have time for here on Friday Sport Preview this week. Many thanks to our correspondents and our guests this week, as always. And if you want to catch up with any of the latest Isle of Man sporting news, head on over to the Manx Radio Sports Hub at manxradio.com. And this programme will be available as a podcast later this evening if you want to catch up on anything we've spoken about over the last hour or so. Well, have yourself a wonderful Friday evening, whatever you're doing, and also have yourself a wonderful rest of your weekend as well. But until next time, bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.